and I've had some ups and I've had some downs. I went around a mulberry bush a couple of times, hallelujah. But in the end, I'm gonna look like it. I know you gave up on me and you didn't expect to see me in the end. But I want you to know I'm gonna be in the end. I'm gonna be in the end. Cause the Father promised us we're gonna be in the end. Tell somebody I'm striving. I'm striving. Tell them I might not get there when you get there. The tortoise and the hare. Tell them I know I'm the tortoise, but I'm just going to keep on going.
Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Come worship with us. Enter the denomination of faith, Church of the Living God, 1279 Pickett Road, Leesville, Louisiana. But God is first, and people are always.
This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina, Alexandria.
Greetings, brothers and sisters in Christ. You are now tuned into the Deceptions of Satan radio broadcast with Brother Leon Gaspy. Listen now as Brother Gaspy enlightens you about the different ways Satan may deceive us in our walk with Christ.
Good afternoon. This is Brother Gaspy. It's getting close to the time, or it is the time, what we call Easter season. I'm glad Jesus was resurrected, because he opened the way for us to be resurrected into the family. But I have a problem with the Friday crucifixion and the Sunday morning resurrection, because like I said, I believe in the truth, and I don't believe that's the truth because of the fact of what I've read in the Bible. Jesus himself said that he would be in the grave 3 days, 3 nights, and 3 days. And I can't get 3 nights and 3 days between Friday evening and Sunday morning. But anyway, that's just what Brother Gaspy believes now. Most churches all over the world are preaching that Jesus was crucified on Friday evening and resurrected Sunday morning. Jesus said in Matthew, I think around 12th chapter, I think it is, that the only sign he would give would be the sign of Jonah. As Jonah was three nights and 3 days in the belly of the fish, so he would be in the belly of the earth 3 days and 3 nights. So, and that don't line up with me. It's kind of like when I was a boy, I guess I had an inquiring mind and always have had it and far back as I can remember, because I would question things that people told me, like Santa Claus. Now, we lived in the backwoods of Louisiana, and all we had was a fireplace with a chimney. And I was trying to figure out how in the world could some fat man come down the chimney in that fire in there. See, in December, it's cold here in Louisiana. And I was trying to figure out how did he come down that chimney to put toys and fruits. Not that we didn't get too many toys in those days, but we got apples and oranges and bananas maybe. And you could smell them all over the house all before Christmas. So I knew they was there so much, just where, but I didn't know. But sometimes they, you know, have put them somewhere where you couldn't smell them or something. But anyway, After I found out that, you know, that Santa Claus, see, they told me not to lie. I grew up in a Christian home, and I was told not to lie. Don't lie, boy, tell the truth. And when I found them lying to me, then I started checking on whatever else they told me, because they lied to me about the tooth fairy and the Easter bunny and all that. And so it's the same way in this Christian walk. I hear what the preacher's saying, but I've checked the Bible on this thing that we're talking about, and what the Bible don't line up with what the preacher is saying. You know, like I said about that fruit, judge the tree by the fruit. Well, some trees ain't bearing real fruit. You know, if I grew up in California or Florida, where the orange trees around Georgia, where peaches are popular, if I come to Louisiana and somebody give me an orange, and I know what the orange look like and what it tastes like, and somebody give me call it an orange, well, you know, that may be what you call it, but where I come from, they call it different. So anyway, I just want one thing I learned, and I wish everybody could live by this. It's found in Matthew 7, it's around verse 12. It said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And if we could live like that, this world would be a beautiful place to live. Because if you don't want somebody to do something to you, don't do that to that person. Then first, you have to learn to love people. You know, not because they love you, but in spite of them not loving you. Because a lot of times, you know, everybody got some inferiority complexes and some little things that bug them, you know. And we just have to learn to love each other in spite of each other. Because God loves us this way, and we are his children. We're to become like him. And like him, being like him, is to love people. You can't love him if you can't love me, because you never seen him, but you're looking at me. You know, you're looking at your brother. I put it that way. You're looking at your brother. So if you can't love your brother you're looking at, how can you love somebody you don't even know? You haven't seen him. You just read about him. You never seen him. How can you love that? How can you do that? You say you love the Lord, but yet you hate your friend across the street. You can't stand this brother here because of what? Because he's different from you? Or different from me? No, I don't go along with what they say. What is the truth? You know, that's what I want to know, the truth. That's what I was looking. That's because that's the reason why I do a lot of reading. I used to do a lot of reading. I don't do as much reading now as I used to, but I wanted to know the truth, and I still want to know the truth. And I find this one thing interesting about this Bible is that you can read it and reread it and reread. And every time you read it, you find something new that you did not know, or that you, some things you think that wasn't there. It seemed like it wasn't even there it's because you read it and you go back and read. Now that wasn't there when I read it before. Yes, it was. You just read over it. And a lot of stuff we read over and not really paying attention to what it is, just reading and going on and placing our faith in what they say. Never mind what they say. What is the truth of this thing? That's like you go and buy a boat and put it out on the lake. Now you know how to drive a car, but driving a boat, it may be a little different from driving a car, you know, and you need to learn something about how to handle the boat before you go out there, go across the lake, you know, in windy weather. When the storm may arise, you're going across the lake in that boat. You don't understand how to handle it. There's a good chance you could cause a little problem there for yourself and for some of whoever else is with you. But anyway, I said the more we learn, we can never learn everything that's to be learned in this world. Because as Paul says there in 1 Corinthians 13, we know now in part, but then we'll know in completion. We'll know the whole truth. If they tell you to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God in court. You can't tell the whole truth because you don't know the whole truth. You can tell what you know, but you can't tell the whole truth. So, anyway, I'm going to leave that alone because I've went into that one time. And when they was calling me for jury duty. Anyway, I can't witness to what I don't know. And it's the same thing. We can't, if somebody calls you to witness to something you don't know, that's what I say about saying amen in church is like co-signing a note. You know, you say amen to something you don't know. You haven't read it. You don't know it. It hasn't been explained to you something. You're going to jump up and say amen because somebody tell you to say amen. To me, that's witchcraft. Because if your witchcraft is controlling another person, now, if you want to control me to the point that I'm going to say amen when you say amen and say hallelujah when you say hallelujah, no, I'm not going to let you do that to me. I say amen when there's something that I can witness to. If I read it the same way and understand it the same way you understand it, somewhere in the neighborhood of where you understand it, I may say amen to it. And I don't always say amen. I might sit there and nod my head and listen. I want to hear what you're saying. I don't want, you see, people have, I'm like a noisy church. Then a noisy church is fine if you just go to have a good time. See, this is what most people seem to be going to church for, to have a good time. The first time you tell them, man, I went to church somewhere. Well, did you have a good time? No. I didn't go for a good time. I went to hear the word of God. I want to know the word of God. I'm not going to church to have a good time. I didn't go to the club really to have a good time because most of the time when I went to the club, I was going where they had gambling in the back. I was going to hustle. I wasn't going to look for to have no good time. Because good time never did. Different people have different ways of having a good time. I had a good time wasn't out rumping and bumping and dancing and sweating and going on, getting old. And 9 times out of 10, if somebody get, when you're drinking alcohol, 9 times out of 10, somebody's going to get crazy and wind up fighting. And I never did like that. But anyway, it's been a good week for me, and I pray that it's been a good week for some of you, some of the others. Oh, and by the way, I had one young man that wrote me a letter and asked me to pray for him. His name is Derek. I don't have the letter in front of me. I don't remember his last name, but his name is Derek. He's in the federal pen doing time, and I want to do that because he asked me to. But Heavenly Father, I ask you, in the name of your firstborn son, to give Derek a desire to know you according to your written word, and give him the wisdom to understand your written word, and to get to know you. It is the way to know you through your written word, which was written by your living word, which is your son, Jesus Christ. And I ask you to give him the courage to do and to speak and to live according to that word. And this I ask in the name of your firstborn son, My Lord.